And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is October 18, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to thank God for saving our friends in Paradise, California, from the fire that we all knew that it was devastating for so many homes. But we are here on BBS Radio fighting the good fight. We are fighting for the good in the world, and we want to make America good again. You know, there was talking about making America great again. Before you start, you have to level the field and start talking about what's good in this land. This land of magnificent structures and incredible people. The spirit of the people that makes the world look up to it. You know, America, since I was little, I was enchanted from my first blue jeans. And it was incredible experience to know that there is like a big daddy out there, like Uncle Sam, that takes care of everybody. And today everybody is looking to Donald Trump to be the father of everybody, and for some reason they don't get him. They don't get that kind of personality, because the world was used to be managed by soft hands, you know, velour, gloves of, you know, of softness. But instead they went racket. And they went ragged because of Hollywood demonstration, what bad can be. And you know what? A day of reckoning arrived to Hollywood. Hollywood never gonna be, you know, good again, because they have to face up with the real truth of their BS that they were selling to the world, that they're goody two-shoes, they're so wonderful, and all the world needs to look up to. And they were selling devastation. You know, world that was made from movies after movies of fighting, of this, you know, nothing incredible anymore. There was no story that you looked up to, and no example that you wanted to follow. There were, of course, those Disney movies or, you know, HBOs that you can sometimes, or Hallmark, that you can actually enjoy. But if you're looking for a good movie these days, you have to look hard, because, you know, the sex is right up front and personal. Oh my God, how much we can have? How much we can have more of that? But we're gonna talk about it later. Let's start with what really on the world agenda, what the Trump administration made the shift on the strategy on Iran. The important thing is to realize we had an agreement with Iran. Now we will listen to what Trump said, and we're going to talk about it. Let's follow it. Number four.
President said he will not certify that Iran is complying with the 2015 nuclear deal reached by President Barack Obama. The move does not mean that the U.S. will pull out of that deal, but the president is expected to lay out a broader policy on Iran.
Yeah, so here are some of the core elements that we've just gotten from a White House statement. Quote, the U.S. will focus on neutralizing the government of Iran's destabilizing influence and constraining its aggression, particularly its support for terrorism and military. Washington will also revitalize our traditional alliances and regional partnerships as bulwarks against Iranian subversion and restore a more stable balance of power in that region. And the U.S. will deny the Iranian regime all paths to a nuclear weapon. Now, we should say that Congress has 60 days to consider reinstating sanctions that had been lifted under the nuclear agreement. So basically, Congress will ultimately decide the fate of this agreement. But President Trump, again, delivering on a campaign promise.
Yeah. With that, with Obamacare, we'll see. Mm-hmm. The speech will be live starting at 12:45 p.m. Eastern time. And of course, Fox Business will carry that for you. Well, War Stories host Oliver North strongly criticizing the nuclear deal with Tehran.
The Iranian nuke deal is worse for the American people than Obamacare. They can both kill you. It's just a matter of how many and how fast.
For more on this, former Assistant Secretary of Defense Larry Korb joins us on the phone. Larry is also a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Larry. We just got the news from the Trump administration. What exactly do you think the president will do here?
Well, basically, what he is doing under the law, every 90 days, he has to certify that Iran is complying with the deal. Essentially, what he says is, I'm really not going to certify that they're complaining, that they're complying with the deal, not because they're not complying with the deal, but because of all their other behavior in the region.
We just heard that soundbite from Oliver North. Why is this deal, the Iranian deal as it stands now, why is it so bad?
Well, it is not bad. Actually, it is one of the best arms control agreements we've ever had, much better than when I worked with President Reagan that we had with then the Soviet Union and now Russia. And I think what's happened, we've taken our mind off our focus off the deal about nuclear weapons and then talked about a whole bunch of other issues. We can still do both. And, in fact, that's what our European allies work with us to get the nuclear deal, because that's the biggest threat to the region, because if Iran were to get nuclear weapons, then the Saudis would do, and you'd have a nuclear arms race in that part of the world.
So we're going to seek changes to the deal then?
Well, again, we're not quite sure. This almost gives us the worst of all possible worlds, because you say, well, we're not going to certify you're complying with it, even though the International Atomic Energy says that we are. On the other hand, he's not telling Congress in this thing, the way I read it, that, you know, you should, you know, put the sanctions back on. So what have you got? You've got a lot of confusion here. And, in fact, what could happen economically is our European allies, Russia and China, could benefit more economically because they can do more business with Iran. I mean, one of the deals is in jeopardy now. What about the Boeing was going to sell, you know, all the planes to Iran? Will that deal go through now?
Mm-hmm. All right, Larry Korb, thank you so much. And, of course, we're going to see how our European allies and also how Iran responds to the president's formal announcement when we get it later today. Larry, thank you.
All right. So what we heard? We heard that the Mr. Trump decided to review the agreement. Now, this agreement was signed in July 14, 2015 in Vienna. And the sides of the party that signed was China, France, Germany, the Russian Federation, United Kingdom, and United States. But the whole premises of the agreement was to implement a peaceful nature of Iran nuclear program. You guys, you have to understand, when Donald Trump said, you know, in his complicated way, because we need to understand how this president speaks. He speaks in a different way than the diplomats. When you're in diplomacy for many years, you start to cutting, you know, the layers of the information. And you go to the chest, to the knot, to the basic. And then you can inform the people. And people that from outside, they tend to write or talk a lot, and they're missing the point many times because they start talking about the old cake instead of going to what the cake is made of. And Mr. Trump, you know, maybe he talks a lot to describe the situation, but the deal is, when he says the spirit of the deal, it means that it doesn't seem that Iran is making a nuclear program a peaceful one. And how do we know that? By her actions. When you have a missiles program that and launching and testing, you know, and all around, and making an example how strong you are and making some muscles. And then you're going and sending troops to Syria and you're actually fighting. Now, everything that symbolizes peaceful is vanishing to the notion that you send troops to fight. And then you want us to believe that your nuclear program is a peaceful one. So Donald Trump got it real good. He said they behave like they're in a war. They are not peaceful programming this deal. So I want to review it. Now, what does it mean to review it? It means that you go and you make an addition and addendum. You know, you make some pointers system that says, you know, you guys doing this, if you keep on for enforcing your power around in Iraq or Syria, it might be become, you know, it might become a conclusive evidence that you are actually breaking that agreement. I think that they broke the agreement because the spirit was a peaceful one. Their behavior is not. So I'm all with Donald Trump on this. Well, whatever you like it or not. And the Russians and the Chinese and the France and the German, they need a United Kingdom. They all need to come back to basic to understand that you cannot have a bully with the nuclear arm. And you know, I know that Bibi Netanyahu been talking about it. He probably had a vision one time because he saw so persistent about this idea. That means like he understand it really, really well. So I want you to listen to the message that that we have after that from Bibi Netanyahu. All right, Bibi Netanyahu spoke just today because the foreign minister of Iran was talking about his Twitter account. You know, this diplomacy needs to change because this Twitter account is really becoming a nuisance for diplomacy. All right, let's listen to it. Number six, I think.
I hope you're sitting down because this one's a whopper. Iran's foreign minister just tweeted that all Iranian boys and girls, all Iranian men and women, see themselves as the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. I'd love to know what the Iranian people think of that tweet. Of course, sadly, the regime bans them from using Twitter. Ironic, don't you think? Apparently, I have a higher opinion of the Iranian people than their leaders. See, I'm sure that ordinary Iranians aren't proud when the Revolutionary Guard murders innocent men and women around the globe. I'm sure that ordinary Iranian mothers and fathers wouldn't have blown up a Jewish community center in Argentina filled with little children, because that's what the Revolutionary Guard did. I'm sure that ordinary Iranians want to live in peace and don't want their government to shoot students in the streets, hang gays from cranes, torture journalists in prison. One day the Iranian people will be free. Free to tweet. Free to express how they felt when their dictators compared them to the Iranian version of ISIS. So I have a simple message for Iran's foreign minister. Delete your account.
Bibi Netanyahu, he has a birthday today, so let's wish him happy birthday today. Yesterday, you know, some these days he has a birthday. So happy birthday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He said it right. All Iranian cannot be the armed forces of Iranian regime. That's why the spirit of a peaceful nuclear deal is broken. Whoever wants to make the scenario differently or whoever wants to argue it differently just had an approval by the foreign minister that actually declared that they all armed forces, you know, their army is the people. So they're using it even. God, I want to do something to play Leonard Cohen with Hallelujah because Donald Trump deserve a thanks, and we want to say Hallelujah to God.
I've heard there was the secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, if that's real, because we do have a God, and it's not them, and we need to be thankful to every day that we pass peacefully in this world, because the way that everybody is acting these days might ignite a World War III, and we don't want to see that. We need to really look back to history and understand that we cannot allow this to happen again. But we need also to keep in check the goons of the world. And Iran, you know, I've been reading the full text of the Iran nuclear deal, and it was published in the Washington Post. And it's written underneath, democracy dies in darkness. I don't know what was... it's supposed to mean, but Washington Post, you know, it's the way it is. Anyway, democracy dies in darkness. Of course, the darkness of being oblivious to what's happening under your nose. And if you don't realize that Iran is acting up, you guys are trying to be stupid, because I know that there is so much money passed along, and there is banking going on in Europe. There is some trade and a lot of business to be doing, because the Iranians are good people for business. But it was good when it was the old regime. Before the revolution, before we had this incredible Ayatollahs taking over the people of Iran, because we had so many friends in Iran those days that we actually had an Iran-Contra affair, if you remember. The idea that Iran cannot play in the world today is really sad. And the people of Iran needs to wake up to the reality that their regime is controlling their faith, and the world is not going to sit back. And I'm saying the world because the European Union is acting up like they don't understand it, and their comment. Let's listen to the comment that they have on the U.S., you know, the allies reacted to the president's decision on Iran. Let's listen to them.
We're going to turn now to another controversial move from the president, threatening to leave the Iran nuclear deal.
Iran's president, however, is hitting back, saying the U.S. is isolated in its opposition to the agreement. And ABC's Gloria Rivera is in Washington for us this morning. Good morning to you, Gloria.
Good morning, Paula. Congress now has 60 days to demand more from Iran, but there's been no indication yet Iran is even open to renegotiation. One former State Department official described Trump's about-face to me as a huge hit to America's reputation, upholding its commitments, calling that the only true currency in international relations.
This morning, a chorus of grave concern from the United States' major allies around the world after President Trump declared he will terminate the nuclear deal with Iran if Congress doesn't toughen it up.
The Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who reportedly fought against the president's efforts to decertify Iran's compliance, said Friday he believes U.S. partners in the deal will get on board.
I fully expect that our allies and friends in Europe and in the region are going to be very supportive in efforts undertaken to deal with Iran's threats.
But many of the country's biggest allies are defending the deal. The UK, France, and Germany announcing they are committed to the full implementation of the nuclear agreement in their shared national security interest. But in the Middle East, praise from Iran's frequent sparring partner, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I congratulate President Trump for his courageous decision today. He boldly confronted Iran's terrorist regime.
Trump wants the deal expanded to restrict Iran's ballistic missile program and support of terror.
The Iranian regime continues to fuel conflict, terror, and turmoil throughout the Middle East and beyond.
But those elements were never part of the agreement, negotiated by multiple countries over years. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani had this warning should the U.S. change course. If other parties do not fulfill their promises, we will not hesitate even for one moment and will respond.
And this morning, another country weighing in, Russia saying it deeply regrets Trump's decision. Dan, Paula.
Gloria, thank you. Let's go to Austin, Texas now, and ABC News political consultant Matthew Dowd. Hey, Matthew, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with what the president has just done on the Iranian nuclear deal. Where does this leave us, and what, in your view, is the impact on our national security?
Well, Dan, I think it's exceedingly problematic. As you know, there were seven countries that were part of this accord. Six of the countries are opposed to what Donald Trump just did, including the UK, China, Russia, France, and Germany. And so I think it sets us up in a position just like after the pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, where we are on the outs of the international community. And this was the first time we actually ever had an agreement with Iran to at least slow down their nuclear development. Very problematic for this president, and it's going to be very hard for him to get what he wants out of this Congress.
And he seems, in terms of health care, he seems to be like kind of punting to Congress as well. We know that Obamacare was expected to really implode on its own, but now this is just accelerating the process. And now, Matt, he's being sued by nearly 20 states because he wants to stop these subsidies. So what could the political risks here be for the president?
Well, you know, this is like you having a car that's got problems in it, that it's got malfunctions in it, and then you puncture the tires and put sugar in the gas tank and say, help me fix the car that I just am breaking. It's a huge problem in this. He now owns health care. It is no longer Obamacare. Donald Trump owns health care. And from a political perspective, he's in a real big problem. He's holding hostage, as was talked about earlier in the show, millions of people and their premiums.
All right, that was about Obamacare that we are not listening and talking today. But the idea of the allied forces trusting Iranian nuclear program and wanting to appease them. You see, with terror, everything is about appeasement. And their actions, you know, needs to be much more diligent and much more careful. We need to get our act together as a world, as a global force, not just, you know, America by itself. And I didn't hear other countries that talked about it, but we have so many natural devastation these days. We have hurricanes, we have fires, we have, you know, hurricanes that arrived to Ireland that I was mentioning before. It's amazing. So, of course, everybody is worried about his own backyard, but we need all together work about to find a way to make a peaceful agreement with all parties. We need to get the men down from their high horses. And I'm saying the men because it's not that women in the past were better, because we have a very bad story to tell you about Hillary Clinton and kahootsing that we had with the Russian. Something that is funny because we say that there is a day for everything. And Hannity probably is exposing these days a real Russian collusion. So I want you to listen to this, and we'll keep on going. After that, we're going to go back to the Hollywood story.
This is a Fox News alert. Welcome to Hannity. And tonight, explosive new evidence in what is becoming the biggest scandal, or at least one of them, in American history. Now, it's something we have been saying would be exposed for months. According to new reports tonight from The Hill's John Solomon and Circa News' Sarah Carter, there are brand new FBI documents that show the Russian nuclear industry officials kick back millions and millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, all while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and helped approve the Uranium One deal, which gave Moscow, Russia, Vladimir Putin control of 20% of American uranium, the foundational materials for nuclear weapons. And tonight, they're also reporting the FBI now has evidence that Russia for years has been doing this, and they're reporting the FBI has evidence that literally they use bribery to gain control over America's uranium industry, all while the Obama administration did nothing. And the Clintons benefited to the tune of nearly $145 million. You want a real Russia collusion story? We've got it. Also, is Congress now going to do its job? Will they investigate these explosive reports immediately? Will the special counsel, Robert Mueller, start looking into this Russian plot to control American uranium? And is the left-wing mainstream media, are they going to stop pushing their lies and conspiracy theories to you, the American people? Will they ever tell us the truth? And that's not all we have tonight. The FBI has confirmed that, in fact, the disgraced former director, James Comey, drafted a letter exonerating Hillary Clinton months before interviewing any key witnesses in the email server scandal. We're going to cover all of this in tonight's breaking news opening monologue. All right, so The Hill's John Solomon, his colleague over there, Allison Spann, are once again out with an explosive new report. Take a look at this headline from today. FBI uncovered Russian bribery plot before Obama administration approved controversial nuclear deal with Moscow. Now, here's the headline from Sarah Carter. Russia, nuclear firm under FBI investigation, was allowed to purchase U.S. uranium supply. According to these breaking news reports, back in 2009, the FBI, they started gathering evidence, including recordings and emails and witnesses that they talked to, showing that the Russian nuclear industry officials used bribes, kickbacks, money laundering, and other illegal tactics to expand Russia's influence over America's uranium market. Now, in the Hill report, they explain that despite all of the evidence that they had of wrongdoing against Russia, the Obama Justice Department, for some unknown reason, chose not to act and pursue charges. What did they do instead? The Obama administration then went on to approve business deals that benefited Russia, Putin, Moscow greatly, while these threats to our national security were actually going on. These include the 2010, we've talked about it a lot, now we have more details, that Uranium One deal. Hillary Clinton, she signed off on it, she helped approve it. That gave Vladimir Putin control over 20% of America's uranium. Uranium is the foundational material so you can build nuclear weapons. We'll have a lot more on that in just a second. And the 2011 deal, that made it easier for the Russian nuclear subsidiary to sell uranium to U.S. nuclear power plants. Now, the FBI officials told Sarah Carter at Circa News that the Bureau's bribery investigation could have actually been stopped. However, this part is inexcusable. Both reports highlight how the Obama administration kept all of this evidence that they had of Russian bribery secret from Congress and the American people until 5 years after the approval of that Uranium One deal. And when the DOJ finally did go public, this was 2015, it was only to announce a single charge against the Russian at the center of the bribery scheme, and they played it on the down low. Now, keep in mind, after President Trump won in November, President Obama and his administration, they were telling anyone who would listen, Russia, 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 Russia interfered with our election. Russia was creating a direct threat to American democracy. Well, if that's the case, why, when they had mountains of evidence that we will reveal tonight of Russian bribery going back to 2009, why then did the Obama administration and Hillary in particular sign off on the sale of 20% of America's uranium to Vladimir Putin and the Russians? And speaking of Uranium One, according to the new report from The Hill, the FBI has evidence, including eyewitness accounts, that, quote, Russian nuclear officials routed, pay attention, routed millions of dollars to the U.S. designed to benefit former President Bill Clinton, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's charitable foundation during the exact time Secretary of State.
You see, you hear, it's sanity was talking about what Hillary and Bill Clinton were doing before they start to putting, the emphasis on Donald Trump. The idea that she lost the election gave her the graceful chance to move on and keep on, living a peaceful life. But she decided to fight. And in every public office, you have those high moments and bad moments and bad decisions that we, as people, we can all make. They decided to sell uranium to the Russians. And once they're talking about collusion, I don't think that the Iranian that can be ended down to the Iranian can be described as collusion. They can be described as collaboration with the our enemy forces. It's going to be very, very sad if I'll see, you know, Bill Clinton and Hillary in bad condition, because they represented one party, you know, Democratic Party leadership, and we give respect to them. It doesn't matter what opinion you have. You're American. When you serve the country, you deserve our honor. But now all this shaming to Donald Trump brought all the bad stuff. You know, when you start throwing stuff, the mud got into them too. So I hope that they're going to be clear, but I think that it's for them it's over. And I receive letters, so I know that they are really not me personally, you know, all the campaigning that they're making. I can understand that they have some condition there. It's their choice. It's the high horse that they were riding, and for some reason, she went mad. She really went mad, because you cannot unleash all this incredible force of Hollywood against the president. And going back to Hollywood, look what we have here. We have the best, you know, producers, the Oscar winners and everything. You see how bad the situation is. Hollywood is looking very bad. And I would say that we have some ideas that might change the page on their history. But let's listen to the story about how Brad Pitt warned Harvey Weinstein not to touch Gwyneth Paltrow when they were dating. Let's listen to that.
The Weinstein scandal continues to deepen every day now. Oscar winners Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow say they were both sexually harassed by the movie mogul.
And that's not all. Weinstein faces newly revealed allegations of rape as the list of stars speaking out grows larger by the day.
Paltrow tells the New York Times Weinstein harassed her when she was 22. She had just signed up for a star-making part in the movie Emma and was meeting with him in his hotel room. She says Weinstein placed his hands on her and suggested they go to his bedroom for massages. Quote, "I was a kid. I was signed up. I was petrified." According to the Times, she refused his advances and told her boyfriend at the time, Brad Pitt. ET has learned that Pitt confronted Weinstein and told him repeatedly that it better never happen again. And Brad's ex, Angelina Jolie, also tells the paper Weinstein made unwanted advances to her in the late 90s in a hotel room, which she rejected. Quote, "I had a bad experience with Harvey Weinstein in my youth, and as a result, chose never to work with him again and warned others when they did." And more bombshells today. The New Yorker published a detailed report adding new claims that Weinstein raped three women, including the actress Asia Argento. Today, she tweeted a scene from a movie she wrote and directed, which she says is similar to what she experienced with the Hollywood mogul.
"You know what would be great? It's if you'd give me a massage."
In a statement this morning, Weinstein's rep said, quote, "Any allegations of non-consensual sex are unequivocally denied by Mr. Weinstein." And his lawyer called previous New York Times reporting, quote, "saturated with false and defamatory statements." An Oscar winner, Mira Sorvino, told The New Yorker Weinstein sexually harassed her in 1995 while she was promoting the movie Mighty Aphrodite. She spoke to KTLA this morning.
"It's a travesty that this sort of behavior is normalized and accepted for decades in this industry."
There was a flood of condemnation today by Weinstein's former colleagues. George Clooney called his actions, quote, "indefensible." Actress Jennifer Lawrence said, quote, "this kind of abuse is inexcusable and absolutely upsetting." Ben Affleck called the behavior completely unacceptable. And Matt Damon did a lengthy interview to deny that he tried to kill a 2004 expose on Weinstein, saying, quote, "I would never, ever, ever try to kill a story like that."
Well, we don't expect to hear any further from Harvey Weinstein anytime soon. His rep says, quote, "he has taken the time to focus on his family."
All right. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. We are talking about the Hollywood story and about Harvey Weinstein. And let's listen to some ideas that I have. All right. I'm a girl. I knew what they're talking about in Hollywood for all along. I remember when I came from Europe and I was like young and gorgeous, maybe. I was thinking about it, and my boyfriend then said, no way, you know, or me or them. And I didn't know why he was saying it. Well, of course, I chose him. But the idea was, why is a common denominator to everybody that you're going to be sexually harassed? And everybody knew that if you go into the movie industry, you're going to encounter some sexual advancement. And if you are, good girl, you cannot play there. And if you are a bad girl, you get the point, I guess. The truth of the matter is that you don't want to make Hollywood a sponsorship of you know what? I don't want to go there. But I want to change the page on their history, because Hollywood represents something incredible. And they did a wonderful job over the years. And they have the right to gain back their position in the world. But how you do that? First of all, you drop all those killing movies. You just drop it, because you're promoting violence. If you promote violence, you cannot promote good. So if we're going to go, let's make America good again. I took it for President Trump. Come on, but I'm sorry. Just got it today. If you want to make America good, you have to stop promoting violence. You want to prefer. You know, there is that story. Which animal in yourself you feed? The bad guy or the good guy? And they're feeding the bad guys all the way, like Vegas does. They are feeding all the bad notions, whatever, you know, people don't need to do, they are doing. So let's cut it. But how you win back Harvey Weinstein? Let's assume that he's coming to redeem himself. Let's assume that if you throw him to jail, which he deserve, and I'm a girl, you know, for me, I would kick him, you know, whatever I can to do to him. I want not revenge. I want to change the page on history on the Hollywood scene. So how we do that? You make a movie like that says, you know, it was bad and now we are back to normal. Or now we are respecting women. Or now. So I would have a movie that is all based of a star that is made of a great woman, that she'll come and put them on their knees to beg for forgiveness. Yes, make a movie, get all the money that you get from that movie back to society to compensate for women abuse, build the houses to help them restore their honor, and start repent. Repentance is not also only before God. Repentance is society. You are taking control over the world culture, and you actually corrupted the fabric of the world. Look what you result. You know, you are right, reality, you know, follow arts. And you made the art of this incredible devastation all over the world. And what do you have there? You have war. What do you need? If you knew how to make a nuclear war goes in movie without, vanish yourself, you would do that. I know, because you're bad. Because Hollywood decided to be bad. If you go back and create a movie that Harvey Weinstein start, you know, the first scene, asking for forgiveness before the world, from his wife, for God's sake, from the girls. And yes, nobody will forgive him, maybe, but they make a lot of money to fixing it. And let's fix it, because I have no compliments. I don't get any benefit from him throwing, you know, making him another be in jail. It's not what I want. And I, even, you know, you take all the money of the world from him, it's not going to compensate on the abuse of women that we have. And let's talk about it. Women don't get it. Women, if you go to get a job and you are old, you don't get it because your body is not fresh enough. And who is deciding is the man in charge. I don't want even to tell you the scenarios that you go to, you know, a television station, and you talk about the producer, and he said, well, you know, I don't know if it's right scene for you or whatever. I said, but I have a great boy that speaks French, you know, because that was television that spoke French too. He said, well, I'm not into boys. And that's where I understood what they're looking for. If you're not into boy, it means that you were looking into women. I wasn't there for the women thing. I was there for the news. And that's where you realize that nothing changed. And nothing changed. And I'm too old, and I'm so happy that I'm out of this scene. But the idea is that there are girls out there that have to face that music. And more than that, that liberation that you guys in the left-wing party like it. You like so much that you want it. You want to dismantle even the credo in God, because you know that when there is a God, the girls will not give in so easy, because there is a God that they fear. And what you wanted? The Democratic Party itself. There is a witness. We were following it all along. You guys are trying to even to eradicate God. And any time you try to eradicate God, you'll go back and pay it, because you can eradicate something that was, you know, created this world. So I know it's crazy, but I would make a movie with Harvey Weinstein saying forgiveness in the first scene on his knees and asking for forgiveness. Yes, then you cut, and then we're reversing all the women, making a women's story, and now we are creating a more equal world. I'm not telling that the world will be led by only women. I'm not telling you that all women are good or all men are bad. Just telling you that I need some playing field that I need to play in, because I've been studying too hard. And all the girls in this world are too smart for you guys to keep out of the game. And if you think that you can make a board meeting without us anymore, you must be mistaken. And all those, you know, conferences of men only, I'm really, really thinking that you guys are crazy enough to think that we're going to set for it. And the Israeli government is really, really doing the same, because it's all men club. And the women are only, you know, okay, you get a job. You got the, you know, the take care of the baby. It's like, okay, mommy, come fix the coffee or make the kids lunch. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of, no, I'm not tired. I'm actually happy, because it's a new day. And maybe Hollywood make a big, big film out of it. I can write the script anytime. I actually offered it. So anytime you want to fix something, come to mommy, all right? We'll help you fix it. All right, guys, we are running out of time. It was so much fun to come back, but I needed to come back. I don't know if I can, you know, keep on being here every week, but I must tell you that I love you. I think that this world is incredible. I think that something that saves us all is the music that we all can relate to and dance to. I wish for some adult dancing, you know, like discos for old people, not discos, club for old people, something that they forgot about us, you know. Before we go, in Italy they have clubs. You know, you go to clubs in the USA, you get so much noise, alcohol, but no dancing, like real, like in the past, that used to be, you know, that orchestra, live orchestra that played, and you can make, you know, and you can dance, you can dress nice, something that I miss so much. And in Israel, forget it. You can't even go to the scene because it's a midbar. And if you're talking about, you know, Hollywood, here it's not funny either. Here is actually got into all the levels. Because drugs, that's what makes people facilitate these activities. And drugs become so strong. That's why you get Donald Trump to stop all this drug transferring from one country to another. And I hope they stop it also from Sinai, from the south, from Egypt to Israel. Maybe it's a new day. I believe in you. I think you're great people. I think America is wonderful. I think that Israel is great, of course, and Jerusalem is the most incredible city in the world that you must come and pray before God. And maybe together we can get our act together and start making something out of us. But before, you know, we do it, we have to understand that it takes some people to party. And I don't know what we're going to do with Iran, seriously. And the European Union, if you get online, we will make sure that we work hard to make Europe good, because there are some nice people there. Look at the English. They're already getting their stuff together and moving on. So I wish you all the best. I want to send you all my love from Israel, the Holy Land, with a prayer and a blessing that you all be safe, you'll be happy, and you'll be wonderful, and send all my love to you and your kids and all the people in the world. And come back soon to listen to us. Orly Benny Davis checking in. Checking out. Ciao, ciao.